with gasoline, $5 a gallon in some states and $3 a gallon in other states and what have you. Some people are running on low. This message is designed in my heart to help us from a spiritual aspect for those of us who are running on low as to what's going on in the church today. The title of this message is going to be The Rapture of the Church. Is the rapture real? Is the Lord Jesus returning for His church? What is staying or stopping or preventing the wrath of God falling out upon evil? What are the signs? We're going to look at that here shortly. Sodom and Gomorrah, we're going to look at that. We're going to look at 2 Peter also about righteousness. Is there any evidence of the pattern of God redeeming His church, taking His people, protecting His people, His children, prior to His wrath being poured out? Is there evidence, is there a pattern, is there prophecies in the Old Testament that lead us to the belief and the understanding that Paul's talking about in Thessalonians about the rapture of the church? Is there a foundation in the book of Genesis or throughout God's word and repeated where He's rescued His people prior to His wrath falling upon them? Does the Bible support in any way, shape, or form that the righteous will be removed before judgment? And did the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus not pay for my sins, past, present, and future? Well, He did, and they are paid. 2 Peter 3 says, scoffers and mockers shall come in the last days, saying, where is the proof of His return? Where is the rapture of the church? What's going on? There's churches out there right now that do not believe that the rapture is going to happen. There is, it's definitely going to happen, and we're going to start our session here in, if you want to get your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. The Word of God stands firm. When we look at in the book of Genesis, because Genesis, as you well know, I've spent many times teaching Genesis or going through Genesis. In Genesis, we see that the ark, God had Noah build the ark before His wrath fell. He did that for one reason and one reason only, and that was to save and to take Noah, who was found righteous, out of that area to protect Noah prior to the wrath of God falling upon wicked man. We're going to look in Genesis again too with Abraham and Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. Interesting, because the little nuances that are in God's Word, when we stop and read it, if we read God's Word superficially, it actually we blow right through what the Holy Spirit's trying to teach us. And that what the Holy Spirit's trying to teach us is that God is in control. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Beginning, he says, Paul's talking to the Thessalonians. Now, understand that there was people that infiltrated the church at that time, and they said that there is no such thing as a rapture. The rapture has already occurred. It's not going to happen. And Paul says, no. And Paul knew that God was going to take His children out of here or protect them through this, His wrath, protect them from His wrath. God, all the way into the Old Testament, God time and time again protected His children. So Paul was trying to defend. He says, because they were told, the Thessalonians were told that there was no rapture, it already occurred, and sorry, you lose. But Paul speaks up and he goes, but I would not have, verse 13, you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord. This isn't Paul speaking, because when Paul's speaking on his own, he says, I say this, but not the word of God. But when the word of God is spoken, Paul uses the word of God. He says, this is by the word of the Lord. And that which you are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And carefully listen to this part. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, hallelujah, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. You need to highlight that, in the clouds. Jesus is not going to set his foot on the earth until Revelation. That's when he's coming back. You are not going to go, you are not appointed to wrath. You are not going to go through the tribulation. Those who are in Christ Jesus will not go through the tribulation. You are sealed until the day of redemption. So then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Because in Revelation, the Lord comes back with his saints, 10,000 of his saints, and that's going to be you and I. Because we are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, he says, in the Lord, in the air, and we shall be forever with the Lord. So comfort one another with these words. Comforting one another with these words is what God is calling us to do in today's world. The world is in a chaotic mess. Okay? We look around and we see saber rattling. Nations warring against nations, wars, poverty, all of these things are going on right now. But you know what? As godly people, God's going to walk us through that. We're not called to the wrath of God. He's going to take us out of this before that. So the rapture is a very real event that's going to take God's people home before his wrath is poured out. What's staying the wrath of God right now, what's holding his wrath back on the earth, is the Holy Spirit, which is in you. That's what's holding his wrath back. But once the church is taken out of here, just like we saw it with Noah, once he was protected, once he was shielded, once God made that provision for him to be secure, then the wrath of God fell. In our study in Genesis last week, I want to go to in our study in Genesis last week, we saw some of those nuances where God's plan for mankind was revealed to Abraham. I want you to switch over to Genesis chapter 18, and we're going to go to verse 23. Abraham is in his tent, sitting in the door of his tent, and these three men come up out of nowhere. Abraham meets them and greets them and bows down to them, invites them in, and said, come on in, rest a spell, wash your feet, and I want to cook for you. In other words, I'm going to make a feast for you. And that's the hospitality of that generation of those people in that era. We understand that those three people, one of them was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Christophany. The other two were angels. The other two angels were commanded and given directions by God to go into Sodom and Gomorrah because the evil there was immense. The evil there was beyond and similar to what is going on today. Okay? And that evil came up to God's nostrils. And God says, I want to see if what's going on here. Abraham, the angels left after the meal. The angels left and went toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham saw them walk away and going in that direction. And God said, should I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? In other words, God revealed to Abraham what he was going to do before he did it. He reveals to us before the wrath falls out. He's revealing it to us on a daily basis. He revealed to Abraham what he was going to do. And Abraham said, will you, in verse 23, this is a key verse. Abraham drew near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous. And we see that whole dialogue, that whole narrative with Abraham bartering with God for the souls. Will you, 50 righteous, Lord? Will you destroy all of the world for just 50, with 50 righteous? What happens if there's only 40? What happens if there's only 30? What happens if there's only one? Will you destroy all of that one with all of the wickedness? God said, nope. He didn't do it. Verse 32, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, but yes, once more, peradventure, 10 shall be found. And he said, this is the Lord speaking, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. We find the story goes on. The two angels go into the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot is sitting at the gate. Lot was Abraham's nephew. Lot was tainted by the wickedness, just like you and I are on a daily basis. You can't turn on the news, you can't read the internet without being tainted with the garbage and the things that are going on in the world. Lot was vexed by the evil that was going on. Bless you, bless you. Lot was vexed by the evil that was going on, yet he had the authority. He was sitting at the gate. In other words, that was a position of power for Lot, and yet he didn't step up to the plate. And we see that as the angels came into Lot's house, the men of the city, old and young, in other words, the evil had permeated from the oldest to the youngest, just like it is today. Exactly like it is today. And that evil permeates the entire society. So the men surrounded Lot's house. They tried to get the angels. The angel said, we will sleep in the streets. And Lot said, no, you're going to sleep in, you stay in my house tonight. And the men tried to get the angels, and Lot said, here, take my daughters, my virgin daughters. Think about that. I mean, how many of you have children here? Would you toss your daughters to the foulness, to the disgusting world? Lot was going to do that. He was ready to do that. It shows that the evil that Lot was around there, Lot had, he was vexed by that. But you know something interesting? Do you know that God called Lot righteous? How do you process that? Lot not only did he want to give his daughters to these degenerate, this disgusting individuals, but after that he got drunk. He had an incestual relationship with his daughters, and yet God called him righteous. How in the world could that be possible? Verse 8, Lot saying, behold, now I have two daughters. This is chapter 19, verse 8, I'm sorry. Chapter 19, behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out, and you do whatsoever you feel good in your eyes. And Lot is righteous. It's a pretty powerful statement. Angel said, stand back. And of course, they smote the men, in verse 11, with blindness, so they couldn't find the door of the house. But I want to pick it up in verse 12. And I want you to pay attention, because we're going to read through this, and it's going to blow your mind, because all of a sudden we see God's hand in this, without even understanding what's going on, and then we'll get into the righteousness part of it. Verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, have you anyone here besides you, and son-in-law, and your sons, and your daughters, and whosoever you have in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, get up, for this place the Lord's going to destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked his sons-in-law. Folks, the alarm has been sent. The world is in chaos. Christ is coming back. There is going to be a judgment. The sons-in-law are exactly what's going on today. Surely he hasn't, God hasn't said he's going to come back. Surely this is not going to happen. They've been saying this for years. My daughter even said, God bless her, she said, Dad, you've been telling me that the Lord's coming back for years and years and years. It may be today, it may be the next 30 seconds, whatever time frame. God's timing is perfect. At the appointed time, the Bible says over and over again, at the appointed time. So when the time is perfect and the people that are in the kingdom, the sheepfold, Jesus, the sheep know my voice. Once they are in, once that last lamb is sheep is in there, then the door closes. In Revelation, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any shall open, and I will come into him and supper with him. In other words, I will have fellowship with you. So, Lot's family, his sons-in-law, his daughters, or whatever, they said, ha! Yeah, you said that before. I heard that. Do you really think he's coming back? There's churches today that say the word rapture, the rapture of the church, is not in there. Well, I beg to differ, because Paul says it at the beginning here in Thessalonians. And when the morning rose, pay attention closely here. And when the morning rose, then the angels hastened Lot. In other words, they grabbed him, saying, get up, take your wife and your two daughters, which you have here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city. We talked about rapture. Is there a pattern? Pay attention to verse 16. And while he lingered, the men, the angels, grabbed a hold of his hand, and the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him outside the city. God took Lot and his daughters aside. He brought them out. He's rapturing us. God's pattern is taking his children out before his wrath falls. He took them out and said, Lord, and his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him outside the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought forth abroad, that he said, escape for your life. Don't look behind you, neither don't stay in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. And of course, Lot, just like us, ha, not so, Lord. Not a big deal. It's okay, I can handle this. Nope. Lot says, behold, now your servant found grace in your sight. You have magnified your mercy, which you have showed me in saving life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take him. In other words, I can't go out there and tell people about you, Lord, because, you know, they're not going to believe me. They're going to, you know, basically say I'm a nut. That's okay. Behold, the city is near. In other words, send me over here as opposed to there. But I want you to pay close attention to the first person in verse 21. It shifts. The scriptures shift. Again, when you read the Bible superficially, you're going to miss it. But if you read the Bible specifically with prayer, and the Holy Spirit will reveal to you things in there that you've never seen before, and I can attest to that verbatim. I can't tell you how many times I read through some of this stuff and I never picked it up, but this one here blew me away, and we mentioned that in our little Bible study on Sunday night. And he said unto him, see, and I want you to look at it. It went to first person. I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for which you have spoken. Get out of here, escape there, for I, again, God speaking, I cannot do that, okay? He says, I cannot do anything until you come here. Therefore, the name of the city is called Zoar. God saves his people. The rapture of the church, we are his children. We are not appointed to wrath. And that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Specifically, it says, we are not appointed unto wrath. We are going to have suffer persecution. Persecution is of the enemy. Wrath is of God. We are not appointed to his wrath. And to fall in the hands of the living God is fearful, and what it's fearful to fall in the hands of the living God. And if you don't think God's wrath is far more intense than persecution, look at what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. It rained fire and brimstone. It wiped out two cities, all the evil. Okay? God's wrath in the tribulation is going to be poured out upon mankind. Before the tribulation comes, the rapture of the church, the Holy Spirit's going to take us out of here. So how is it that Lot was righteous? Any thoughts? Flip over to 2 Peter, because here's where we get confirmation. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 7. And again, topical teachings are difficult because line upon line, like Pastor Bill teaches, verse by verse, line upon line, the continuity of the entire Word of God remains concrete, fast, okay? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Let's back up to, okay, let's start up verse 4, I'm sorry. For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. That's where they're at right now. Verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that would should live ungodly. And 7 is the one that blew me away. And delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. Okay? We, in this world, and we see what's going on, and when we see, and I don't want to get political here, but when we see, you know, men wanting to be women to compete with women, or women want to be, and gender neutral. In other words, we are degrading at a rapid rate, at an declining rate. We're going down quickly, okay? And only the light of God, which is in you, is going to shine into this dark world, okay? When it talks about the what's going on in the world, Lot was vexed by that. We get vexed by the same thing. But Lot was righteous. His righteousness was of the Lord. Isaiah 54 says, their light righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. It says in Isaiah 54, it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Okay? And I that's on another note. Sorry, folks. But no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And your righteousness is of the Lord. My righteousness is in Jesus Christ. My righteousness is totally in him. He is the King. He is the creator of the universe. He created heaven and earth. He holds it together. And there, all of this has been foretold. The timing of God is perfect. When the rapture happens, then that which retains, that which blocks, will be removed, and the wrath of God will begin. That seven-year period, the tribulation will begin. Then you say, well, wait a minute, there's another rapture within the tribulation, 144,000, and there's another rapture where Jesus is going to take his church. No, this one here, the first one, says no man knows the day nor the hour. We will know the seasons. We will know the signs and seasons, and you can't look around right now and say this is what God had planned from the beginning with Adam and Eve being all, you know, in the Garden of Eden. No, we are suffering, and we are. We are suffering the same angst, if you would, that Lot is when we look around. $5 a gallon gas, We've got food going up. Everything's happening. And when we see those things, we get focused on those things instead of saying, Lord, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly, Lord, because we belong to you. And he will take you through the fire. He took Daniel's buddies through the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those are the Babylonian names. But he took them through the fire. And they said, even though we go in that fire, we will not bow to that. Well, Lot stumbled a little bit. But you see, Lot's righteousness wasn't in him. My righteousness is not in me. Not even close. Okay? I mean, you guys don't know me. You don't know me in my home life or my business life or whatever. Not that I'm, you know, that bad of a guy. But the point being, there's none righteous, no, not one. And Lot's righteousness was his faith and his trust in the Lord. But God had to literally take him and snatch him. It wasn't, come on, Lot, scoot on, buddy. Come on, get it on down the road, little doggy. No. He said, boom, the angels. Now, when an angel grabs your hand, you're going. there's no stopping with that, okay? And when you figure one angel, when you think about the power of angels, and there's millions of angels that God has created, when you think about that, think about this for a second. One angel slew 185,000 frontline fighting troops to protect Israel. 185,000, one angel. Okay? So when those angels grabbed Lot and his wife, they're on their way. There was no digging your heels in, I'm not going. Okay? And of course, the same way with the daughters, you're going. Because God had a plan. And I'm kind of going to take a bunny trail with you right now. The book of Esther does not mention God at all. It doesn't mention the Lord whatsoever. But the book of Esther was questioned whether or not it was going to be in the scriptures. They got together and said, well, Esther doesn't really talk about God. But when you look at God's hand and his plan and his dealing with Haman, with the king, and Esther and Mordecai, you see God's hand was in that. Even though he wasn't visible, his hand, his plan was in place, just like he is right here. This is his plan. Our redemption is his timing. We're looking around going, Lord, Maranatha, Lord, anytime, Lord, can you come and take me out of here? But back to Peter, says there's scoffers and mockers coming, because you see, you know where the scoffers and mockers come from? The ones who don't study the scriptures. Jesus tells a story about 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. They didn't have their, when the bridegroom came, the 5 had their lamps full and ready to go of oil. And there was 5 who didn't. And they said, hey man, can you help us give, you know what that oil is? That oil is the light, what causes the light of God. And it's in his word. And that's where we need to be, is in his word, in order to get that stability, in order to get that foundation, in order to get that hope, in order to have that light burning in us. So that when that trumpet is blown, when the angel announces the king of the universe is coming to take you home, your daddy is coming to take you, he's going to help you, he's going to save you, okay? That light, I want my light to burn brightly. My heart, my desire, and I text Heidi this morning, is that God put a fire in every one that can hear my voice, put a fire in our gut, in our heart, to seek him with all our strength, all our might, all our will, to seek him 100%, because Lord, we cannot do this without you. We cannot, there's nothing that we can have. Lord, we come to you empty-handed, just like Lot. We come to you empty-handed, Lord. He has to take us out by the hands. He has to guide us and direct us. So the way he does that for us is through his word, through fellowship, through being obedient unto his word. And you know what? Sometimes we get caught up with the sin, sin issues in my life. I don't know about you guys. but I get caught up with that. But then I remember, I'm broken. And it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about him and what he's done for me. As we come up to Easter, really take to heart the Passover. really take to heart the meaning behind that. Because you see, had it not been for him, we would be like Sodom and Gomorrah, destroyed because of our own sinful nature. Because our hearts are rebellious toward the Lord. Well, hopefully your spiritual gas tank got a little bit of a half a tank maybe. But don't give up hope. Whether you've been in the Lord for decades or you've just given your life and eternal security to the Lord Jesus Christ, creator and sustainer of heaven and earth, by believing on him, that he is the Son of God who took your place, my place, on the cross, and he died a horrible death beyond what any human being could. You know, when Jesus was scourged and he went before Pilate, and the Jews, everyone is out there yelling, crucify, crucify him. He brought Jesus out. And I always thought this was interesting. Pilate makes this statement, just like we did here in Genesis, when you find these little tidbits, these little epiphanies, okay, in God's Word. Don't read it superficially, study it. But he brought Jesus out on the veranda there, and he said, behold, this is a man. Isaiah says he was so marred, he didn't even look human. Didn't even look human. And he took that on. That was me that he did it for. That was you that he did it for. So as we get into the Passover season, understand the price that was paid is beyond comprehension. And he's not going to allow you to go through his wrath, because that wrath was poured out upon Jesus Christ on the cross. Poured out on him. For us. So, be like Noah. Be like Abraham. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not at your own understanding. Isaiah 54:17, if you want to write that down. And by the way, if you really want to know the details about the crucifixion, Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, really spells it out pretty visually. See, Jesus, when he came here, when he came as a human, not only did he create all things, he stepped out of eternity, he put on the very flesh, we talked about that he created. Think about that for a second. He created this. We didn't make it. He did. Okay? He put on that flesh. And then he went to the cross to save the creation. Open that door. That all who want can come in and sup with him and sit down with him. So when he went to the cross through Isaiah, he said, the Lord had no form or to come down. So he wasn't strapped out like Fabio, you know, with the long flowing hair and the chiseled chin, you know, and the big steely blue eyes and what have you, standing 6'2". I'm Jesus. No. Nope. Nope. When I realized what he went through, he had no form. He was just a little guy. Humanly speaking. And then when you see him bend over and the Romans whipping him, okay? Our minds can't fathom that, the innocence. Our hearts can't accept that. Now, if he was a big old strapping dude bent over like that, okay, yeah, all right. We don't have that sensitivity of the innocence. But you see, he had no form of comeliness. He wasn't pretty. He wasn't tall. We could walk right past him. All of us would walk right past him and not even recognize the God of the universe. Are you kidding me? Lord, give me eyes to see you. Give me ears to hear you, Lord. Give me a heart to seek you with all that's within me, Lord. I don't want to be lukewarm on the day of, of the judgment. That's the key. If we are lukewarm, we are going to be kicked out. What does that mean, being lukewarm? Yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I know. I'm good. You know, I've got it all down. You know, I don't swear. I don't smoke. I don't chew. I don't go with girls that do. Isaiah 54, 17. Bless you. This says it all. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue you shall shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Okay? And their righteousness is of me. My righteousness is in Jesus Christ, who paid it all, past, present, and future. I'm not appointed to wrath, because my Savior paid it all. And folks, I'm going to tell you straight up, I believe there's coming a time when that eastern sky is going to open up, and the King of Kings, the Creator of heaven and earth, is going to be standing there, and we're going to be called home. We will, none of this, you won't, nothing will be remembered. We will rejoice in Him. We will be in His presence. Meeting Him in the clouds and forever be with Him. He is coming for His children. So the final question is, are you ready? Am I ready? If you have never asked the Lord to come into your life, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come in and change your heart and change in you what and create in you what He wants you to be, now is the time to do that. Because the saber rattling, the loss of hope in the world, our hope is in Jesus Christ. I implore you to pray, say, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and my transgressions. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, but deliver me, Lord. Renew your holy presence in me. That should be our prayer. That should be our prayer, folks, because the rapture of the church is coming. It's not bad. It's joyful. And that's the comfort. That's the hope that's in Jesus Christ. That's the hope that we have daily. The Lord says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall in no one way pass away. When we read about God's plan throughout all of the Old Testament, and remember, the New Testament is letters, okay? The Old Testament, the Scriptures, when Paul refers to the Scriptures, he's referring back to the Tanakh, the Torah. So in closing, John 14:3, finally. John 14:3. Understand clearly that whether we go home to be with the Lord from this body falling into the ground, or whether He's rapturing us, the Word of God will not return unto Him void, and He says that He will accomplish and complete what He has set out to do. John 14:3, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I have prepared that place for you, I, the King of the universe, the Creator of heaven and earth, will come to you and receive you unto Himself. If you don't believe that, read Acts. When Stephen was being stoned, we all know that scripture, when Stephen was being stoned, after preaching the word, they stoned him. And what he did was, he looked up and he saw Jesus standing. Think about that, standing Hebrews says once he paid for our sacrifice, he sat down. The priest, he's the high priest, the king that's written about and that was prophesied. He's our high priest and the king. And he sat down. Why would Jesus be standing? To receive Stephen, which is what he's going to do for you and I. Man, I can't wait for that. Man, I can't wait for that. So where does my hope lie? Does it lie in $5 a gallon gas? Not a chance. Does it lie in high food prices, governments, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines? No. The Lord says, when you see these things come to pass, look up, because your redemption draws near. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, I'm at a loss. All I can say is thank you. I ask you to put a burning fire in our hearts, Lord Jesus, to follow you, Lord, to get into your word, to study your word, Lord, not just be superficial readers, Lord. Cause our lamps to be full of oil, Lord. Cause our lights to shine in this dark world. Cause us, Lord, to reach out to those who are in need, Lord. And Lord, cause our eyes to constantly be focused on you, not on the things of the world, Lord. And Lord, your word says that when we are focused on you, the things of the world will grow strangely dim. Lord, you increase and we decrease, Lord. We belong to you, Lord, and we can't wait for that day, Lord, when you do take us home. Lord, that what a glorious time that will be. Father, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Almighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.